Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
2 Kings chapter 15, verse 1. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, this is Jeroboam the second, probably about 15 or so generations from the original Jeroboam, king of Israel, the northern 10 tribes region, idolatrous and not doing at all what God had asked them to do. And then you have Azariah, right in your margin there, also known as, a.k.a. King Uzziah, the son of Amaziah, the king of Judah. He became king there in the south. Verse 2, he was 16 years old when he became king, was this Azariah or Uzziah, and he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. Heretofore, no king had reigned longer than him. The only person that beats his record is Manasseh, the evil king who will come much later. His mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. Verse 3, and he, Azariah or Uzziah, did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. Verse 4, except, remember those high places? Can you worship God in the golf course? Of course you can. But there really is the better way to worship God as he is intended, in spirit and in truth, with a certain amount of concentration, with other knuckleheads just like us, all getting together at the temple, if you will, in the house of God. Sure, we can cry out to the Lord any place at any time, but modeled here in the Old Testament, God told the people there in Judah, there's one location where you can actually offer this sacrifice, and it was at the temple. There was a ridge called Mount Zion, and then they put together the walls, retaining walls, and filled in a platform. And where a little bit of bedrock protruded from the platform was where this brazen or brass altar was set. And on this brazen altar was, all those years ago, the exact location, likely, where Abraham offered Isaac. God says, I'm doing something. When I tell you to go to a certain location, it's for a reason. And then later, of course, the temple is destroyed by the Babylonians. The Jews rebuild it, and then it's destroyed by the Romans after Jesus. But do you remember what hill Jesus died on? Golgotha. It was the topmost point protruding out of the Temple Mount platform at the time. Very close, if not looking right into the brazen altar, was Golgotha, where Jesus would die. There's something important when God says, I want you to go to a certain location. But you know how we are. Okay, God, I got it, but I don't really have to do all of this. God says, when you come to the altar, when you come three times a year, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, and on the new moons every month, and then, of course, weekly at the Sabbath celebrations, and daily in some occasions if you live nearby, God says, don't ever come empty-handed. Well, what do you mean, don't come empty-handed? Let there always be a sacrifice of praise. Verse 3, one more time. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done, except there's those high places, they were not removed. And people still sacrificed and burnt incense on those places. Verse 5. Then the Lord struck the king so that he was a leper until the day of his death. This is Uzziah. So he dwelt in an isolated house, and Jotham, the king's son, was over the royal household and judged the people after that. Hold your finger here. Go to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 is going to fill in a bit more of the story. What happened to Uzziah? In the first part of chapter 26, you find out that Uzziah, probably after King David and after Solomon, was the greatest king as far as military power, economic might, and ability. He expanded the kingdom. Later on in his realm, when evil Jeroboam II dies, he actually does almost reconnect north and south. And for a few glorious years, Israel was a juggernaut, and God was moving in the city of Jerusalem and moving through the people of Israel. But look what he does. He's conquered all kinds of land. Look at verse 16, 2 Chronicles 26. But when he, Uzziah, was strong, his heart was what, everybody? Lifted up. What goes before destruction? Pride does. Was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. How did he do that? He entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Who was only supposed to do that? Those were the priests directly descended from Aaron of the tribe of Levi. God specified, if you're a king, you can't be a priest. The only person who ever fulfilled that office of prophet, priest, and king is who? Jesus. So he just was saying, well, these priests can do it, no biggie. I'm the king. I should be able to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Verse 17. So Azariah, the priest, went after him, and with him were 80 of the priests of the Lord, valiant men. They're about to say, no, 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 king. Verse 18. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, it is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who were consecrated, ceremonially cleansed. And if you get into Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, you find it was an extensive process of bathing and anointing oil and specially consecrated clothing. It used to be quite a very detailed process so that you could come into the presence of the Lord. This king's all, I don't need any of that. The sons of Aaron who are consecrated to burn incense, get out of the sanctuary, for you have trespassed. The priest goes on and says, you shall have no honor from God. Then Uzziah became furious. He's not getting it. Watch what happens. And he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord beside the altar. Verse 20, and Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked at him, and there on his forehead he was leprous. So they chunked him out of that place. Indeed, he also hurried to get out because the Lord had struck him. King Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. And that's what we're reading about tonight. Back to 2 Kings. That fills in a bit more of the story. Remember, he was 16 years old, was Uzziah, when he became king. This event happened approximately 750 BC, or 41 years into his kingship. So he was probably about 57 years old when he became leprous. Two-thirds of the good kings of Judah fell apart in the last third of their life. They started out strong, but two-thirds ended up like Uzziah did. We can never, ever take it easy and take our foot off the gas pedal of staying close to the Lord. Would you agree? And Uzziah's death was about when Isaiah then begins to minister. Verse 6. Now, the rest of the acts of Azariah, or Uzziah, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? Verse 7, so Azariah rested with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. And then Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. Now the camera's going to move to the north. Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, not the Zechariah who the book of Zechariah is written. This is another guy. Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam the second, reigned over Israel in Samaria. His reign was about 6 months. That's about a basketball season. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as every king did of Israel in front of him. As his fathers had done, he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. That's Jeroboam the first, who had made Israel sin. And then Shallum, the son of Jabez, conspired against him, this Zechariah fella, who is now 6 months into his reign, struck him and killed him in front of all the people. And he reigned in his place. Verse 11. Now the rest of the acts of Zechariah, indeed, are they written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? Yes. Verse 12. That was the word of the Lord which he spoke to Jehu, a guy who started off well. He was a bloodthirsty and a violent man. And because of his brutality, God says, you're only going to have a king on the throne, a descendant, for only four generations. Well, that's our boy Zechariah. That was number four. Verse 12. And it was the word of the Lord which he spoke to Jehu, saying, your son shall sit on the throne of Israel until the fourth generation. That's 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 12. So Shallum the son of Jabesh became king in the 39th year of Uzziah the king of Judah. That was before his leprosy, of course. He reigned a full month in Samaria. Full month! For a guy by the name of Menahem, the son of Gadai, went up from Tirzah, came to Samaria, which was the capital of the northern tribes region, and he struck Shallum the son of Jabez in Samaria and killed him. And now he reigned in his place. Have you ever noticed that rebellious kings don't last long because the next rebellious guy slits his throat? And that's how it always is when somebody tries to split God's house and tries to cajole away a bunch of people from God's prescribed method and manner. And at first they'd say, this is going to be fun. But remember, if they can't be under authority, they should never be in authority. And notice the model in the Old Testament. Verse 15, now the rest of the acts of Shallum and the conspiracy which he led, indeed they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Then from Tisra, Menahem attacked Tifshah. This is likely in Syria. And remember, the Syrian guys don't like the Israel guys at all. And because they did not surrender before he attacked it, look what Menahem does. All the women who were with child, he ripped open. Verse 17, and in the 39th year of Azariah, Uzziah, the southern king guy in Judah, Menahem, the son of Gadai, became king over Israel. He reigned 10 years in Samaria, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he did not depart all his days from the sins of Jeroboam the first, the son of Nebat, who made Israel sin. Then Pul, P-U-L, and for you Bible students, this is an important character in history. Biblical history, to be sure, but also history in general. His real name is Tiglath-Pileser the third. It is this guy who is going to, with his military might, his ruthless behavior, he is going to extend the Assyrian Empire to almost its greatest reach and scope. But boy, was he a nasty, nasty guy. Tiglath-Pileser, one of Assyria's most ferocious kings. That's who Pul is. King of Assyria came against the land. You think you're a bad guy, Menahem? God says, I'm going to introduce you to someone who's worse than you. He meets someone more violent, more brutal, more bloody than he. Let me tell you a little bit about the Assyrians. He figured out a way to skin a human alive in such a way that it would take them hours to die. That was one of his tricks. He also invented something that would become known as impalement. They would take not a sharpened stick, but a blunt stick. They would take the person who was conquered, they would tie them up, and they would sit him on the edge of that blunt pole. And with every little movement of the body, the pole worked its way up, 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 and through vital organs. And again, it would take hours to die. Here's another thing that he did. He would take the conquered city, and then he would, out in front, he would take a whole bunch of the conquered peoples, and he'd lop off their heads and put them in a pyramid shape in front of the city. And with the heads, he would take the genitals of those as well and make a little smaller pyramid right next and nearby. People going by would be terrified, is where we're going to get the understanding of terrorism. Really, Tiglath-Pileser was the founder of what we would say modern terrorism. Do what we say, otherwise we will do all these horrible things to you. Another thing they would do, they would cut off the upper eyelids of someone, lash their head to a pole facing the sun, burning their eyes out. These are the first terrorists as we know them. I want you to notice what region of the world this is. This is Assyria, northeast of what is modern day Israel. 13 titles in the New, 33 in the Old. One of the titles of the Antichrist is the Assyrian. So he's a bad dude. Verse 19, Pul, the king of Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser, came against the land, and Manaim gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver. You know how much that is? That's 37 tons. That his hand might be with him to strengthen the kingdom under his control. Manaim exacted the money from Israel, from all the very wealthy. You guys are going to pay this. From each man, 50 shekels of silver to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and he did not stay there in the land. You see how it happens? All you have to do is make a deal with evil and it'll go away. How many of you guys think that that's accurate? Now go ahead and put our first picture up there if you would. This guy is Neville Chamberlain. He was the prime minister of England in the late 1930s. You might recognize the character to his left. That's Adolf Hitler. What was happening was in a mountainous region called the Sudetenland, before World War II started, Hitler was gaining control of his people there in Germany. You know the story. His book, Mein Kampf, was now read and distributed widely. He had come up through his Nazi party. He had taken control of all of Germany. Germany post-World War I was downtrodden, and because they were largely held responsible for much of the destruction of World War I, Germany was under tremendous taxation and they were a downtrodden people, beaten and defeated. When a people are fearful, when a people are believing that the typical institution is not representing them, it is possible that there is a window of time when demagoguery seems effective. Harsh and awful and unthought out insults with no basis. Tone versus substance. And a whole group of people will clamor to the loudest voice telling them what they want to hear. That happened. What happened in the Sudetenland was there were some native Germans that lived in this Czechoslovakian region. Hitler, on the pretense of saying, we have to go in and we have to rescue these German-speaking folks in Czechoslovakia. They need to be German. Well, the whole world says, no, because that's Czechoslovakia, dude. Easy does it there, Mr. Hitler. That belongs to Czechoslovakia. And also, the Allies, they had fortified this pass through the mountains. The one real spot where if Germany ever wanted to invade Europe again, they would go through the Sudetenland. And so they had pockmarked the entire region of their cannons and installations facing Germany in case Germany was ever to come pouring over the border. Hitler insisted, we'll never do that. And so there was something called the Munich Agreement of 1938. Next slide. There's Neville Chamberlain after he's returned from Germany. The piece of paper that he's holding, I'll paraphrase, was signed by Adolf Hitler saying, I promise I won't invade Europe. A. Hitler. That's Neville Chamberlain saying, he promised. He promised. What did Hitler do? After the Czechoslovakian sovereignty was removed, the Sudetenland was annexed, the one-time gateway to the pouring into Europe through Poland was now wide open, and Hitler exploited every aspect. That picture right there, policy of appeasement, was something that Neville Chamberlain, of course, grew to greatly regret. He was drummed out of his office, and of course, the next guy comes up, Winston Churchill. Churchill was a little different tune. We will fight them in the streets. We will fight them on the beaches. We will fight them in the hills. We will fight them in the cities. Almost too late. See, why are you taking me all the way over there? Do you notice here that this king is going to try to appease an evil, violent man, the king of Assyria? In a couple verses, the king of Assyria comes back. What are you saying, Steve? In the Bible and the Old Testament, if we're watching, you and I should never make a deal with sin. We don't compromise it. Here's what Jesus says. You have to eradicate it. And parenthetically and politically speaking, there have been those presidents that try to make deals with evil dictators who have made no secret of the fact that it is their sworn duty to destroy Israel, the little Satan, and the U.S., the great Satan. What do you think about the principle of making a deal with evil? Back to our study. Verse 21. Now the rest of Acts of Menahem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of Kings of Israel? So Menahem rested with his fathers, and Pekahiah his son reigned in his place. And in the 15th year of Azariah, Uzziah now is leprous, remember, he's in the last year of his life, king of Judah, Pekuah the son of Menahem, he became king over Israel, the northern 10 tribes region. And he reigned for only 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the sons of Nebat, who made Israel sin. Verse 25. Then Pekah, the son of Remaliah, he snuck behind and just chewed him out. Chewed him out royal. That's why he's called Pikachu. Pikachu, the son of Remaliah, an officer of his, conspired against him and killed that guy there in Samaria, in the citadel of the king's house, along with Argob and Ariah. He killed and reigned in his place. So again, another king slits another king's throat. Verse 26. Now the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, indeed they are written in the book of Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. And in the 52nd year of Azariah, Uzziah's last year, Pekahchu, the son of Remaliah, became king over Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 20 years. In the days of King Pekah, king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser, there he is. What about all that money that was paid for him? What about the political understanding of appeasement to an evil dictator? Those who do not learn history are destined to repeat it. When he would conquer a nation or conquer a city and make his pyramid of skulls, then to avoid problems and rebellion to his rule, he often deported a big portion of that population.
You've been listening to the Book of Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.